Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and we're going to be discussing things today as always, but always the first 20 minutes when she shows up. We have Wendy Wilson join us with a very interesting topic today. Before we do that, it is the last day of January 2024. 31 January 2024. The month went by very quickly, moving right into February starting tomorrow. But anyway, welcome to this broadcast. Stay tuned. Stay with us. I think you're going to learn a few things, and maybe we can give you some information that may help you. Let's start with the metals in the markets. Three metals are down, one metal is up. Gold was down $3.80 to $2,032.57. Silver's down 34 cents, $22.81. Boy, now is the time to buy silver, folks. Now is the time to buy silver. Platinum is down 662 to $918.19. Palladium was up, $147. The 977.63. The Dow was up slightly, about 50, to 38,533. NASDAQ and SP both down somewhat. FTSE was down 0.04 to 19,357. The DAX was down 0.40 to 16,903. Nikkei was up 0.61 to 36,286. Hang Seng was down 1.39% to 15,485. Oil was down slightly to $1.98 to 75.84. USDX was up 0.25 to 103.64. 10-year yield was down 0.063 to 3.994%. So there you go. Not a big change in anything in any direction. But again, silver is really at a good buy right now. If you're going to buy any metals, this is my opinion. You ask Melody because I'm not the expert. But silver is a good buy right now. Now let's go to our Wednesday guest that didn't show up last week because she forgot us. But anyway, I'm glad you're back with us. Wendy Wilson with Pocket Herbs is always, always interesting. And today's topic she's going to share, it was kind of surprising for me to hear it, and I'm anxious for you to hear it too. Wendy, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Butch. Again, my apologies to you and all the listeners for forgetting my time frame last week. I was talking on the phone with a customer, and I totally missed the show. So sorry about that. We're going to talk about science throwing up the white flag, if you will, with regard to superbugs. And superbugs are your drug-resistant bacteria, so for bacterial infections like your antibiotics and things. So science seems to be surrendering, if you will, with regard to this battle against your drug-resistant bacteria or your superbugs. And according to the research in the January 2024 issue of the from New York University in Toronto, Canada, their science journal there, they said science is really accepting bacteria will mutate, it will resist antibiotics, and it's just part of the evolutionary process mankind has to accept. So this does not change the fact that the world has a tough challenge of dealing with a lot of drug-resistant pathogens, which, you know, brings us to the global strategy lab. They have this lab called the Global Strategy Lab, and their job is to find that radical shift to help them tackle this superbug issue. But they call it their socio-ecological challenge, or war on superbugs, if you will. They said it can't be won, but they are looking for ways to live with the problem. Here is a quote from the journal Perspectives on Politics. This is the Toronto Journal. They said, for the past 100 years, we've tried to address antimicrobial resistant like medical problems, but we haven't really made much progress in actually mitigating the deeper drivers of this issue, end of quote. So basically, you know, science is saying, well, you made your bed, lie in it. According to their research, our real problem of superbug stems from several things. They say bacteria and viruses and fungi have a tendency to evolve, that the acceleration of this process through human interventions like an overuse, reliance, or misuse of antibiotics come into play, and also the routine use of antibiotics in the livestock industry. So we're getting a lot of these drug residues in food sources. So the Toronto Journal says global data from 2019 has showed more than 1 million deaths a year directly related to antimicrobial resistance. Now, I did read, Pastor Butch, research from Europe in which they discontinued a lot of the massive use of antibiotics in their livestock industry, and what they saw was a gradual decline in bacterial infections in animals and humans. So I thought that was interesting. Now, urgent, they say there's an urgent threat, and while one side of science is kind of given up on the war against deadly bacteria, the other side is sounding the alarm that mankind is under the serious urgent threat. And in 2023, the Global Strategy Lab set up a policy accelerator and was funded with, get this, $8.7 million in grant funds from the Wellcome Trust. And they're supposed to try to address this mutating bacteria issue. So the researchers said that the technology combined with antimicrobial drugs is still not the answer to our problem.
Well, Wendy, can I ask you a question? Wouldn't overuse of antibiotics weaken the immune system after a while anyway?
Yeah. So your antibiotics, what they do is suppress your immune system in an attempt to kill the infection by itself. So it doesn't give your immune system the opportunity to make an antibody for that particular infection. Yeah. But, you know, okay. Science's view on this is your immune system isn't all that great anyway, so we have to improve on Toronto goes on to say what we're currently doing is treating symptoms only, not the cause of the mutating bacteria. Using only technology and drug therapy, science would need to operate at an unsustainable speed to keep up with the mutating microbes, since they are evolving faster than drug development. So minimizing drug resistance is the best that we can hope for, they said. Now, a Germany research, universities of Leeds in England, University of Edinburgh in Scotland, University of Hamburg in Germany, they got together, they did a study, wound up in the Lancet Infectious Disease Journal, and they said this: the World Health Organization declared antimicrobial resistance one of the top 10 public health threats facing humanity and called for a national action plan to tackle the threat. More than 100 countries responded with policy plans that are inadequate in monitoring and evaluating the problem. Simply developing a national action plan may not necessarily mean a country is more prepared to respond to a threat. Yeah, you just got a policy. Here it is on paper. Yeah, show that to the pathogen and see what happens. You know. So currently we're told we have 4.5 1.95 million deaths globally from mutating pathogens, and science is cautioning that tens of millions will die if solutions are not created to replace the drugs that are no longer working. So 6 years have passed since the WHO launched their global plea for some sound resolutions, and nothing adequate has really materialized. So the stakes are kind of high, they're saying. The lack of cooperation within the drug companies and policies there seems to produce a major snag in addressing this issue. So the problem is most likely centered around money. It takes a lot of money to go find pathogens, you know, turn over rocks and stuff like that and dig in the dirt and find a pathogen to make a drug from, test it, all this money. The drug companies would rather not do that anymore. According to Kazim Attal, he's a researcher with the Infectious Disease Epidemiological London School of Hygiene and Medicine, they said, antimicrobial resistance is a wicked problem, as conflicting priorities exist among the intricate web of stakeholders. Now, she's referring to drug companies and their boards. That's what she's referring to. The boards are, you know, making these decisions on what their drug companies are going to manufacture. So aside from drug companies and politicians, your stakeholders, there's a long list. I want to give you just a real quick snippet of who's the stakeholders: clinicians and physicians, pharmacists, microbiology labs, medical schools and teaching hospitals, clinics and hospitals, veterinarian sector, the animal husbandry sector, government pharmaceutical management agencies, drug monitoring surveillance sector, procurement, storage and distribution businesses, research and academia, regulation and safety sector, external partners, public health programs, patients, your consumers, financial sector, various civil society organizations, and of course the media with all their advertising sector. So your board, when they make decisions at your drug companies on what the drug companies are going to make and not make, it affects all those agencies. And people are not happy. So Kazim Attal goes on to say, we don't have a human-centered perspective among decision makers and governments for better health. Well, I agree with him. I really do. So what they're asking for, Pastor Butch, is global governance over this. So getting the world, they say, to cooperate is the challenge with all
That's a little spooky in itself. That's a little spooky in itself.
Yeah, well, there's all these moving parts involved, so they need total compliance globally, apparently. So it's a massive endeavor. And the Ministry of Health, in cooperation with the Gonda REACT project and the WHO office in Gonda, issued this report in 2013 on how the world should fix this problem. The REACT project suggests a rational use committee should be formed and people appointed to it and to manage it in the interests and the power of the stakeholders. So this is a, you know, when they say rational, what do they mean by that? Rationing, or rational is in, you know, making decisions that are healthy. So they want really to appoint the very same health professionals basically to this committee. These are the people that are prescribing drug therapies. And that is what's creating the problem altogether, because you know, when you look at your drug sale money, that's influencing all these decisions. And we already have the following committees, Pastor Butch. We have the Drug and Therapeutics Committee. We have the Infection Prevention and Control Committee, the Clinical Microbiology Lab Committee, the Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee, and the Healthcare Epidemiological Committee. We got too many of these committees. Nobody's going to be in agreement.
Sounds like it.
Now, here's a quote from the Gonda REACT project. They said, stakeholders play an important role in the agenda setting stage, technical collaborations, as well as the consensus building stages of the policy process. And they must be managed considering their interest in power. Whoa. Kazim Attal goes on to say this: we emphasize the importance of strong governance and anti-corruption for better health context. So they're wanting to put corporate interests and power into one committee that will oversee all of this? Unbelievable. You know, then nothing could go wrong there.
No.
All right, so the European Pharmaceutical Review did report in January 2021 that the annual revenue of global antibiotics alone was more than $47 million, and they projected the revenue would be $58.8 million by 2027. So these projections do not include antiviral or antifungal drug sales. Therefore, whatever committee is going to oversee the global management of these drugs will be heavily influenced by money. And the nature of man is to be corrupt. And $58 million can buy a whole lot of influence. So the U.S. antibiotic market alone, just in the United States, is projected to bring in $20 million in drug sales by just 2027. That's just your antibiotics, Pastor Butch.
Yes.
So that's a lot of money for stakeholders. If you know, they wouldn't want to kiss that money goodbye for the sake of sustainable world health. You could forget it. Now, I don't even see them doing any of that. So they will form committees. They'll go to meetings. They'll report to Congress. They're talking about global management goals, but nothing's going to change. And it's on purpose. So 10 years have passed from the first published reports on the global consensus on the problem. No progress to implement at all. 10 years. Well, it's the money. That's the stumbling block, you know. So I once worked, though, Pastor Butch, I worked at a neurological clinic. And after we were adding two physicians to the practice, there was this need for extra office staff. So after the doctor hospital rounds in the morning, then the office became busy in the afternoon with patient appointments. So doctors were entering the clinic to see patients. I was taking patients back to exam rooms, and the phone was ringing off the hook. So the head physician asked me, "Who's answering the phone?" And I walked up the hall with this doctor to the front office, and the manager, which was the doctor's wife, by the way, she was sitting at her desk, but not answering the phone. And the doctor asked his wife, why wasn't she picking up the phone since it was busy with patients? And this was her response. "We have an ad in the paper for a receptionist."
Oh, that fixed the problem right away. Okay, I got it. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so this is kind of an example of what they're doing with committees and all this nonsense. You know, it's not going to do anything. It's just not going to do anything. So similar to, there's this problem with your drug resistant bacteria. We'll see if we can form a committee. We'll maybe put some policies together, see what the drug manufacturers and their stakeholders think. And maybe we can deflect some of these questions to those on the committee, or maybe even Capitol Hill, so we don't have to answer anything. So it's under advisement, right? instead of the white flag, the stakeholders have hoisted the pirate skull flag with the crossbones on it. So this ship has sailed and is never going to dock again. I'm telling you, it's just nonsense.
It is nonsense.
It just wasted a decade, you know. And basically your antibiotic therapies, although antibiotics have saved lives, but they've created now this worse problem of superbug resistance.
Absolutely. Well, you're running out of time, young lady.
Yeah. Yes. So basically they're turning to herbs for bacterial infections, and we can too. God said the herbs are here for the service of man, healing the nations, and he can't lie. So give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. You'll get a free product catalog and see how empowered you can be. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com if you want to visit online and get a free catalog. But there are herbs to help you with bacterial infections.
Amen. And it's amazing that they're actually beginning to realize that. Wendy, thank you for so much. That was a great, great bit of information. Thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you next week. Folks, I mean, what can I add? She did a great job on that. That was phenomenal. I mean, they want to world control everything you do medically. And they're going to get it done sooner or later, I'm afraid. Time is getting very close, folks, for a lot of things to start coming together. Prepare yourself. Call Mark, call Melody. Talk to her. Call Wendy. Talk to her. Get yourself ready as possible. Because everything's coming together at a very rapid pace now. I do believe that. I truly do. Back at the break, I think we'll be joined by the boss lady. Y'all don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'm coming for your love, okay?
All righty, folks, we are back. Again, you listen to Financial Survival, and we are here at, on the last day of January 2024. The number to call Talk to Melody is 800-375-4188. And right now, I keep saying this, silver is an excellent buy. I mean, it really is. In my opinion, that's the way, if I had any extra money, that's where I put it right now. And but Melody's a better guy than you know that stuff than what I am. In my opinion, and probably $5 by a cup of coffee about anywhere. But she has it. She's expertise on that. Melody, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Good to have you on your program.
And you know what? You have to, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, the more I see these things that are happening, and the people are just crazy. I mean, there's just insanity out there, Butch. I don't know why people would think that. Everything is just going to flow along as usual. Like, yeah. It's mind-boggling that people don't put funds into gold and silver, that they have all of their retirement accounts, and they're just betting on it. They're gambling.
It's not a very good gamble right now.
They'll be the losers.
Yeah,
pardon?
It's not a very good gamble right now, the way things are.
No, it isn't. Nope.
The odds are really stacked against you. And that's the truth. I think I'll start out on the lighter side, Dave, if you don't mind, Melody.
On the lighter side?
On the lighter side. This says, so this morning, I saw this fellow dragging a clam on the leash behind him. I thought it must be hard to walk with a pulled muscle. Waiting for responsibility ain't going to be there.
Yeah, well, you know, if that's the lighter side.
I thought that was pretty good.
You liked that, did you?
I did like it. It's corny enough to make it funny. Gee. I bet you don't, when, if you're going to see a comedy, I bet they have a hard time getting you to giggle.
That's not true. I have a question, though, for you. Do you have any more of them?
Oh, I got more of them, but I don't know if you want to miss them now.
No. Say it isn't so.
Oh, golly.
Well.
So we'll start on some things whenever you're ready. We'll get on some kind of different things. I mean, you may saw this. Alaska sees record 8-foot pandemic of snow in just 2 months as roofs break. Wow. Even Alaska has a lot of snow. Alaska experienced a record-breaking pandemic of snow winter with over 8.5 feet of snowfall, causing roofs to collapse and residents to dig out their homes from under the snow. Officials in Anchorage are urging people to clear the snow off their roofs, prevent them from collapsing, as happened with some of the city buildings. Over the weekend alone, more than 16 inches of snow fell, pushing Alaska's largest city past the 100-inch mark, faster than ever before. With much of winter still ahead, Anchorage is on track to break its all-time record of 134.5 inches of snowfall. But not everyone is excited about the extensive snowfall. Tamara Flores, an elementary school teacher, described it as a miserable and pandemic of snow. Last year, heavy snow caused the gym roof to collapse, killing someone underneath. And this year's 3 commercial buildings roofs have already collapsed due to the way the snow. So, wow. That is, and can you imagine 8.5 feet of snow? Wow.
Well, it is Alaska.
It is Alaska, but that's a record. And to tell you the truth, I mean, Alaska is a pretty place, but I don't think I'm going to live there in the wintertime.
Oh, I love Alaska. I love Alaska. That's awesome. I don't think I could handle the number of hours in darkness. That's the hard part. Really isn't the cold so much. It's the being in the dark. Well, now, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing to do.
I guess the southern part of Alaska isn't as dark for as long as the northern part.
Still dark.
Oh, sure.
It's still dark for a long time.
That would throw you off balance a lot, wouldn't it?
It does. And unfortunately, they have, in Alaska, I don't know if it's changed, but they used to have some very high rates of alcoholism and drug addictions
and
because of the.
And suicide.
Nobody really pays much attention to Alaska.
I can, because if people get depressed from cloudy days going on like they have here in West Virginia the last couple of weeks, I mean, sunshine's a rare commodity here. It's supposed to start tomorrow and shine the rest of the weekend all weekend, but it's been a long time coming. People get depressed from cloudy days after a while.
That's why I left Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania has more cloudy days than the state of Washington. And wow. It's like, when I found that out, it's like, I'm out of here.
You were gone. Okay. So, yeah, I can understand that. I can. And I guess you saw this, or UPS is going to lay off 12,000 employees.
Yeah, I did. We mentioned it yesterday a little bit, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, that's worldwide. I realize that. But UPS has always been a really going concern and covered up, but business for them has even slowed down. That's really something to think about. The workforce reduction is part of an effort to align resources in 2024 and will save the company nearly $1 billion. I want to thank UPSers for providing the best on-time performance of any carrier for 6 years in a row, Toombs said in a statement released by company Tuesday. 2023 was a unique and difficult year, and through it all, we remained focused on controlling what we could control, stayed on strategy, and strengthened our foundation for future growth. In 2023, a dynamic external and economic conditions led to lower volume and a more than $9 billion decline in revenue year over year. That is huge. The result, Hughes said, the company plans to right-size its global staffing, eliminate roughly 12,000 jobs around the world over the next several months, and that 75% of the reductions will come during the first half of 2024. So if the business went down for UPS, isn't that a sign of the economy faltering somewhat, Mildy?
Well, you would think so, but also, well, you know, it is global, so we know things are slowing down everywhere around the world. But also, what I brought up when I was talking to Dave yesterday was the strike.
Yeah,
folks,
yeah.
You know, if you think that employees are going to strike and the company is not going to lay off shortly thereafter, you're sadly mistaken. It's the same way as minimum wage. If you don't think that's going to create job losses, you're sadly mistaken, and higher prices for you. It's just the way it works.
That's true.
So,
that is true. It is true. American Airlines to lay off 656 employees to provide elevated customer service. I don't know how that works, but anyway. American Airlines announced a layoff of hundreds of employees Monday as the carrier seeks to reorganize and improve its customer service team, according to the airline. Today, we announced updates to our contact center organization that will help us better serve our customers. As part of these updates, we're now creating a new customer service team that will be dedicated to providing more convenient, elevated support to American Airlines customers with some of the most complex travel needs, the airline said in a statement to USA Today. Unfortunately, this means some current positions will be eliminated. We're working closely with impacted team members to support them through this transition, including providing exclusive access to job openings throughout American Airlines, outplacement services, and severance. The layoff will eliminate 8.2% of the 8,000 customer service-related positions for a total of 656 employees who are not represented by a union, according to Bloomberg. The impact includes 335 who work in Phoenix, 321 in Dallas-Fort Worth. These workers currently assist passengers with their lost luggage and AA Vantage Loyalty Program service groups. We are laser-focused on improving your customer service. Carolyn Truelove, American Airlines Vice President Reservations and Service Recovery, told Dallas News, with that focus is digging deep into where we have customer pain points. So, okay, over 600 jobs at American Airlines going. That's quite a few people affected, and we'll say in incomes, obviously. Any comment on that, Melody?
Well, you also have PayPal. They're going to cut about 2,500 jobs.
PayPal, really?
PayPal, mm-hmm. 2,500 jobs. There was also an article yesterday about media layoffs. You have Google, Paramount, Disney, and others have committed to cutting jobs in 2024.
But everybody's happy. I mean, the economy's going up, and the happiness code's up this month. I mean, what's going on here?
Don't worry, be happy.
It is amazing. Yeah, that's right. And this next article with Michael Snyder, I'm not going to read it all, but it's interesting. Now, folks, listen to this, because this is serious, Melody. Homeless in the U.S. is up 48% since 2015. Americans are being laid off in droves. Now, almost 50% increase in homeless, Melody, in the last 9 years. That is huge.
Sad.
We're not talking about losing a car or having the phone turned off. We're talking about losing their homes. That's huge.
Yeah, it is.
I really feel for them. I can only imagine if it were somebody in my family or even myself, especially this time of year, if I lost where I was living, had to move out into the streets or find some kind of shelter somewhere else, especially if you had a family. That breaks my heart. How can anyone out there possibly believe the U.S. economy is still doing well? As you will see below, the numbers of homeless Americans have risen to the highest level ever recorded, and large companies all over the country are laying off workers in droves. As I've discussed previously, the number of Americans that were laid off in 2023 jumped 98% compared to the year before. And now during the first month of 2024, it feels like we're being hit by a tsunami of layoffs. It literally seems like someone has turned a fire hose on, but the Biden administration continues to insist that unemployment is low and that outlook for the U.S. economy is positive. Honestly, I don't understand how the Biden administration can say that the outlook for the U.S. economy is positive when the number of Americans that are homeless has been increasing at the fastest pace ever recorded. According to a brand new report that was just released by Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies, the number of homeless Americans increased 48% since 2015. According to the January 25th report from Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies, roughly 653,000 people reported experiences of homelessness in January 2023, up roughly 12% from the same time a year prior and 48% from 2015. That marks the largest single increase in the country's unhoused population on record. Homelessness, along a problem in states like California and Washington, has also increased in historically more affordable parts of the U.S., like Arizona, Ohio, Tennessee, and Texas, have seen the largest growth in their unsheltered populations due to rising local housing costs. We can see the evidence of this all around us. 10 cities are popping up like mushrooms in our major cities, and countless Americans are living in their vehicles and RVs. One of the primary reasons why homelessness has been surging so dramatically is because rental costs have soared to unprecedented heights. Rent in the U.S. has steadily climbed since 2001. In analyzing census and real estate data, the Harvard researchers found that half the U.S. households across income levels spent between 30 and 50% of their monthly pay on housing in 2022, defining them as cost burden. Some 12 million tenants were severely cost burdened that year, meaning they spent more than half their monthly pay on rent and utilities, up 14% from pre-pandemic levels. People earning between $45,000 and $74,999 per year took the biggest hit from rising rents. On average, 41% of their paycheck went toward rent and utilities, the Joint Center for Housing Studies said. When you're paying 40%, 50% of your income just for housing, that's a big chunk gone. With inflation going up everywhere else, Melly, this is a huge. This is a huge pile of information that we're seeing this increase this fast. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't remember how long we've talked about. You know, I've talked about affordable housing. The past 20, 30 years, there is no affordable housing in this country. And then when you look at the rate of inflation, and you look at what the median home prices. We talked about it yesterday. And you have that much of your funds going to your overhead for housing. I mean, it's like no wonder these numbers are increasing. And Butch, the somewhere something is going to happen.
It has to.
This just isn't going to keep getting worse, and a segment of the population is because there's more people getting worse than there are getting better to offset those that are getting worse.
That's right. Now, if we were legal, we'd get free housing in Maine for 2 years.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing that irritates me. People that are busting their buns to put food on the table are losing their homes. People come over here illegally, they're criminals, and we feed them and give them housing. There's something wrong with that picture. Do you agree?
Yeah, I heard a lady being interviewed this morning from Denver. I'm not quite sure what city, but it was Colorado, and it was a school district. And she's talking about, well, they went and actually bought a hotel. So that's your tax dollars, buying hotels to house these illegal immigrants. I mean, people should be outraged at this.
You would think so. You would think so. And now the cops went to arrest somebody in New York. I didn't get the whole see the article. But they went to arrest an illegal in New York, and the rest of them jumped on to beat the cops up. Yep, this is America today. You're not going to believe this next one. This starts out with the word insane, because it is. Now listen to this. We know that China makes 80% of our medicine. We know that already. And who knows what else they produce we don't make anymore. The U.S. relies on China and Russia for its ammunition supply. I didn't make that up, folks. The U.S. military is almost entirely dependent upon China and Russia for a metal used in many military applications, such as explosives and armor-piercing bullets. The metal is antimony, and China currently owns 53% of the world's supply. However, it processes over 80% of the antimony ore through contracts with producers. The U.S. last source of antimony, the Stibnite mine in Idaho, ceased operations in 1997. It isn't just the military that relies on antimony. Though it does appear insane to import the key element in manufacturing modern military munitions from your most likely adversary, the private sector is also heavily reliant on the metal. What do you think about that? Russia and China have provided us with the substance we need to build our own weapons. Wow.
We just sold out our helium to a German company.
Yep.
And who's the other country that who's the next biggest producer of helium? Russia. It's insane. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, I guess I'm bringing us in. Melody didn't say a word, so I'll jump right in there. I think she must have taken a nap or something. I'm not real sure. But anyway, we are back. And we hope, I really sincerely hope what we're doing today, every day, is a blessing to you. That maybe we're helping you understand a few more things and maybe get your eyes open to what's happening. And so you know to build your foundation a little stronger, spiritually first above all things. Everything, spiritually first, with Christ. After that, mentally, with your family, build a relationship with your family. And then prepare materially also, folks. Food, water, precious metals, all part of it. It may help you survive a while longer and help your family get by when all the doo-doo hits the fan. Go ahead, Melody.
Well, you know, just to let you know that the Fed kept the rates unchanged, and there's a private sector, the ADP report came out today, and it shows that the job growth has cooled in January to 107,000, which certainly was worse than what they had they were expecting. Now, are they going to match the government numbers come Friday? There is always a significant difference between the two, but that's a possibility of what we might be seeing come Friday. So, but the ADP report was not good. And they said that the job growth slowdown hit almost every sector. The leisure and hospitality industry accounted for the most gains in January, adding just 28,000 new employees. And trade and transportation, utilities, construction rose. And They always fail to show government numbers.
I was going to say, well, how much did the government raise? It's always a leader.
They just don't show that. It's probably under 75. Yeah, I'm sure it's a big number. It's certainly not under the trade, transportation. Construction was 22,000. So maybe the difference.
Yet they increased 107,000, but how about all those thousands that have laid off?
They laid off, yeah.
Wow.
So we'll get the government's number on Friday.
Okay. U.S. readies retaliatory strikes for drone attack by Iran-backed militants. The U.S. response to a drone attack that killed three American service members in Jordan last weekend will be carried out over the course of several days, and striking multiple targets, a U.S. official told ABC News Tuesday. These are going to be very deliberate targets, deliberate strikes on facilities that enabled these attacks on U.S. forces. That's official speaking on condition of anonymity in order to discuss sensitive details. Officials will not say whether any of the targets will be inside or outside Iran. Leaving the White House today, Tuesday morning, President Joe Biden said he had decided the U.S. would respond to attacks by Iran-backed militants, but gave no more details. Well,
he's been saying that for days.
He has been. Yes, he has. Iran spoke up today. Iran threatens to respond to any U.S. attacks as Biden weighs how to react to a base attack in Jordan. Iran threatened Wednesday to decisively respond to any U.S. attack on the Islamic Republic following President Joe Biden's linking of Tehran to the killings of three U.S. soldiers at a military base in Jordan. The U.S. has signaled it is preparing for retaliatory strikes in the Middle East in the wake of the Sunday drone attack that also wounded at least 40 troops at Tower 22, a secretive base in northeastern Jordan that's been crucial to the American presence in neighboring Syria. Any additional American strikes could further inflame a region already ruled in by Israel's ongoing war on Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The war began when Hamas attacking Israel on October 7th, killing some 1,200 people and taking about 250 hostages. Since then, Israel has killed more than 26,000 Palestinians and displaced more than nearly 2 million others from their homes, arousing anger throughout the Muslim world. Violence has erupted across the Middle East, with Iran striking targets in Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria. Now, I'll repeat that. Iran is striking targets in Iraq, Pakistan, and Syria. And the U.S. is carrying out airstrikes targeting Yemen's Houthi rebels over their attacks shipping the Red Sea. Some observers fear a new round of strikes targeting Iran could tip the region into a wider war. I have no doubt it will. Iran is a huge country, Melody. It's not like little tiny Gaza. It's a huge country. But maybe on the bright side, Katala Hib, Hezbollah, terrorists, say they will stop embarrassing Iraq with U.S. troop attacks. Okay. An Iraq-backed terrorist organization that forms part of the Iraqi armed forces issued a bizarre statement on Tuesday, promising it would stop attacking American troops to prevent embarrassment for Baghdad. I don't know what that means exactly. If they back down, on this one group backs down, maybe others will too. Maybe they'll slow down a little bit. But I don't. The war is going to expand. If something doesn't slow it down soon, it's going to expand quickly. And it's going to be pretty soon too big to contain, so to speak. Any comments, Melody?
Well, what happens when the State Department is considering recognition of Palestinian state? What's that going to do?
Well, they don't even have one right now, do they? So
no, but I mean.
Well, yeah, right. What's it going to do?
What's going to happen? How's Israel going to react? Well, I'm going to go and blow them out before that can happen. I mean, all of these things are just bizarre. And you know, my comment is, you know, you had Saudi Arabia going after the Houthis in Yemen. So what happened to them? Oh, we took over? And where is everybody else in this Red Sea debacle?
Well, you know, India's getting involved. India is getting involved.
What with what? What does India have?
India deploys unprecedented naval might near Red Sea to rein in piracy.
So piracy, but that doesn't have anything to do with
the Middle East war, exactly. As the exact point of it, but the pirates, I'm sure, are also Middle Eastern.
Shivering in their boots.
Yeah, really. Yeah. India's deployed at least a dozen warships east of the Red Sea, provide security against pirates, and invest in more than 250 vessels as Western powers focus on what's attacked by Yemen's Iran-backed Houthis, their India official said. India has not joined the U.S.-led task force for the Red Sea and does not have any warships there, but it currently has two frontline warships in the Gulf of Aden, at least 10 warships in the northern Western Arabian Sea, along with the surveillance aircraft, the official said. This is India's largest deployment in the region, they said. So India may not be directly involved with what's going on in the Red Sea, but they're certainly getting around the edges of it.
Who would have thought India had that many warships?
Yeah, really? So I don't know.
So my point is, you have the Saudis that are fighting. They have all. Why is the United States, why is there even a NATO anymore? These countries can defend themselves. They have the power.
I think they relied on us too long.
Absolutely.
I think they have. And that's our fault. That's our fault. So, anyway, I don't know, Melly. It's getting kind of warm in Europe now, too, of course. Everything happening in the UK and still with the war with Russia. But now to our border.
But just one thing. What can Biden actually do? I mean, you had 13 servicemen and women who died in Afghanistan, and what did he do? So what's he going to do? And no disrespect for those who have lost their lives. I don't mean to sound hard or anything, but what's he going to do? What can he do?
There's really not much we can do.
There's nothing.
And things are heating up on us on the border. The next few days can be very interesting. The next 2 days can be very dangerous. A border brewed between Texas and U.S., Tiny Eagle braces for its next conflict, Tiny Eagle Pass. Juanita Martinez calls them Abbott scars, talking about the ones getting cut by the war. After Texas Governor Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star rolled out aggressive new border security measures, including razor wire and a floating buoy burying the Rio Grande, she saw firsthand the slash wounds of migrants who had crossed. She remembers a geisha and a 7-year-old child. No one wants to see that. But they have no business crossing that without permission. That's their fault. So she was elated last week when the Supreme Court ruled federal agents could remove state officers' border wire. Instead, she learned Abbott would defy the court order, fueling a growing standoff over the constitutional authority at the border. And that was before she heard about the convoy. As the biggest force of global migration, constitutional law, and election year politicking rural America, perhaps nowhere is more shaken than Tiny Eagle Pass. Shelby Park, once a riverfront picnic spot, had become a militarized outpost, a city park where state officials face off with federal authorities over who will control international migration. In recent weeks, the city has found itself in a discomfiting tourist destination for an out-of-town visitors who want to lay eyes on the border themselves, a show of solidarity in what they see as Abbott-Biden standoff. The next tourist to arrive may be a parade of right-leaning visitors billing themselves as God's army. Loosely organized online, a small group this week began caravanning toward Eagle Pass under the rallying cry, "Take Her Border Back." The destination for now is a weekend meetup that organizers will bill as a partial political rally, but part church revival. So we'll see. And Melody, it breaks my heart that my 7-year-old child being cut on razor wire. If you've never seen razor wire, that stuff is absolutely what it says it is. It'll cut you in half. It breaks my heart but they're coming across there illegally. Now, nobody in the city of 28,000 knows how many people are really coming. Reports so far suggest a small contingent. Everyone in Eagle Pass seems to be bracing for whatever is next. Martinez, 67, a political activist who helps migrants reach their final destination, is worried about this convoy. It's scary, she said. It's not going to be peaceful. That's my concern. Richard Flores, 58, a cattle rancher, isn't opposed to border enforcement. He said he has grown alarmed at the frequency of migrants and the tactics of the smugglers who bring them across the ranch, across his ranch, and others. He hasn't opposed to he isn't opposed to convoy as long as it's peaceful, as organized and assisted will be. But Flores noted the world's larger forces have not left Eagle Pass in peace. Shelby Park itself, he said, was named for Confederate Brigadier General Joseph Shelby. Retreating into the Mexico in the waning days of the Civil War, Shelby reportedly wrapped his unit's battle flag around a rock and sank it in the Rio Grande, where then surrendered to the Union troops. History repeats itself here, Flores said. I just hope this there's some resolution. That's a big move. That's a bit scary.
Yeah, we're not sure what exactly will be happening down there. Or, you know, as loud as it is, it's still a little quiet, if that makes a little sense.
Well, it's like maybe the quiet before the storm.
Maybe. But Texas, I mean, you know, and I didn't want to, but, you know, the truckers aren't, you know, that never happened.
Well, they haven't got there yet.
Well, yeah.
They do that to the third.
Yeah, but I read where they're having difficulties organizing. And
oh, that could be. I don't know.
And you know what? It's we have a lot of truckers. I mean, I used to do radio programs with Raleigh James, and she was very big amongst the truckers. And so I have a lot of clients. And a couple of times when there was discussions of the truckers, and I'm not saying they're not. Don't get me wrong. This is something they feel very strong about. So I'm not saying they're not, but I had one gentleman tell me, he said, and he was a trucker, and he said, it's really hard to organize.
I'd say.
It's really hard to organize.
I don't
doubt grassroots.
That.
Yeah. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Texas Guard flies come and take it flag amid dispute with feds. A photo posted Tuesday at the Texas Military Department official's X account shows the come and take it flag from the Texas Revolution flying at Camp Mabry in Austin. Texas Military Department has posted a photo, and it shows, I mean, this is right at the, this is for real, folks, I saw it. The flag which reads, come and take it, underneath the image of a cannon, is the best known flag of the Texas Revolution, and originated at the Battle of Gonzales, according to the Texas Historical Commission. In the post X is shown flying below the Texas flag at Camp Mabry. So we will see. I don't know. We will see. And of course, now the standoff is calling, the leaders of the cessation movement, Daniel Miller and others, are calling for cessation, and the popularity of that is picking up. This is morphing into something that I don't think we even want to think about. Melody, we're about out of time.
Not already.
Part near.
Really?
Part nine.
Wow. I just want to remind the listeners, 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call, and I guess we will be back tomorrow. We always have specials going on. We have Silver Eagles. They are at a really good price. Premiums have come down. And, of course, the American Gold Eagle and even the pre-33 coins. But we'll be back tomorrow. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I've got me a well.